Spirit Radio Podcasts.
When people of Ireland went to the polls back in May to vote on the abortion referendum, they did so in the knowledge that draft legislation had been published, which the government intended to bring before the Oireachtas in an event of the recognition of the right of a life of the unborn being removed from the Constitution. That bill is likely to come before the Dáil this autumn, and the question is, will it get a free run? Or will there be amendments? As public representatives take a close look at the detail of what's being proposed in it. So our next guest feels a number of amendments should be made, and he detailed those in a speech he gave to a pro-life education dinner in Dublin last weekend. And on the line to tell us more, I'm delighted to welcome former Taoiseach John Bruton. You're very welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And my first question for you is, do you think that this legislation is going to get a free ride, or is it going to be challenged along the way?
Well, I think it's the job of the Houses of the Oireachtas, the Dáil and the Senate, to examine critically, in the light of the most up-to-date information, all legislation. The fact that legislation was published before a referendum and the government, which is a minority government, said it would proceed with that legislation if the people voted yes, doesn't remove the responsibility of the Dáil and the Senate to scrutinise and, if necessarily, amend the legislation, because that's the job under the Constitution of the Oireachtas. Secondly, the Referendum Commission, as I understand it, made it clear in their advice to voters that the only thing that voters were being asked to vote yes or no to was whether the Dáil would have the power to introduce legislation to allow abortion. They were not being asked to give their approval to the detailed terms of this particular piece of legislation published by the government. And I would point out that the Minister for Health himself has actually changed some aspects of the, or one aspect of the legislation anyway that I'm aware of, in the draft he produced after the referendum as against the one he produced before the referendum. So he himself has been amending the legislation. So if he's able to do it, others ought to be able to do so too.
Well, let me ask you, what are your main concerns about the legislation as it's currently drafted?
Well, I have a number of concerns. The first one is in respect of the right of conscience of doctors and medical and non-medical personnel who might be obliged under the legislation to either participate in or assist in or aid or abet the conduct of an abortion, which they conscientiously believe, according to their religious beliefs, to be fundamentally wrong. And Article 44.2 of the Constitution guarantees free practice of religion, and that's not confined to what you do on Sundays in a church or in a mosque. It is what you do all week round. And it would be contrary to Article 44.2.1, I think, to force people to act completely against their religious conscience. And while there is an exemption granted for doctors and nurses in the Constitution, in the legislation, from actually participating in abortions, it doesn't exclude them from having to aid or abet it in some indirect way. And in particular, there's a provision that a doctor who is conscientiously opposed to abortion and believes it's wrong and against his religious belief, he is to be obliged on pain of criminal sanction to refer a patient on to a doctor he knows is prepared to conduct the abortion. Now that adds up, in my view, to that doctor being put in the position where he's required by law to aid and abet the carrying out of an abortion. And that's clearly, to my mind, against the article of the Constitution concerning free practice of religion.
And do you have any concerns over what they're proposing for the viability of the baby versus the mental health of the mother?
I have. That's the other set of major concerns I have. They're saying that if there's a threat to the physical or mental health of a mother, that at any stage in the pregnancy, a baby that is deemed to be non-viable may be have its life ended. Now, viability is defined, in my view, in this in a very loose way. It says that a baby is deemed to be non-viable if they could only survive with what the legislation describes as extraordinary life-saving measures. Now, that's wording that the prime minister himself has put in since the referendum. He didn't have that there before. Mm. Now, extraordinary life-saving measures are used to save premature babies every day of the week in Irish hospitals. And extraordinary life-saving measures are adopted to save adults who might otherwise die from dying every day of the week in hospitals. But a baby who could, with those same measures being taken to aid its survival, is now to be capable of being killed under this legislation on the grounds that under this legislation it would be deemed to be non-viable. Now, that will happen if there's deemed by two doctors to be a threat to the life or the medical or the mental health mm-hmm. of the mother. Now, I can understand the medical health ground. That is sort of scientifically definable. You can assess the risk. But to ask two doctors, neither of whom has to be a psychiatrist, to authorize an abortion on the basis of the possible future risk to the mental health of a mother, if the person becomes a mother by allowing the baby to be born, is to my mind to ask doctors to agree to an abortion on the basis of a speculation about the future. Nobody knows what somebody's mental health might be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now if they have the baby rather than abort it. Nobody can say that. And even a psychiatrist couldn't predict mental health in advance in that way. And yet, on the basis of a prediction by two doctors, according to legislation, neither of whom has to actually be a psychiatrist, the life of the baby is deemed to be capable of being ended on the basis of a possible future mental health risk. And that's the ground, in fact, that's used for most abortions in Britain, mental health rather than physical health. And I think it's defined extremely loosely, and it's far too loose. And I think it's not really what the Irish people intended, but I hope.
Well, talking about the Irish people, I want to ask you this question before I run out of time, because I think it's an important question. On a broader level now, how do you think the pro-life movement can refocus their efforts to continue to make a positive contribution in Irish society around this topic? What can people do?
Well, I suppose in the first instance, in the short run, they have to agitate for amendments to the legislation along the lines I've been talking. So that's number one. But the legislation of some kind on abortion will definitely be passed. So after that, what do we have to do? Well, I think, first of all, we've got to keep arguing in favour of the idea that there are two lives involved and in favour of the idea that there are human rights and that human rights extend to all humans, including humans before they're born as well as humans after they've been born. That's a logical argument that needs to continue to be made. And even though it's not backed up necessarily anymore by the criminal law, it will influence the way people think. And people, women in particular, young girls, are going to be making decisions about abortion in the future, whether they avail of this new legislation or not. And if the climate of opinion in Ireland is one which disapproves of abortion because it believes there are alternatives such as adoption, or because it believes that families are capable and people are capable of adapting to a new reality of the arrival of an unexpected new member of humanity into their lives. If the climate of opinion is favourable to that happening, I think there will be far fewer abortions than there would be if we simply go along with this legislation and assume that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. I also think we need to look at other issues. For example, housing. If people can't get housing and they're going to have an additional member of their family and are worried about being able to house them for the next 30 or 40 years, that's going to create a hostile attitude, atmosphere as far as having babies are concerned. So we need to solve the housing problem, not object to housing developments in our vicinity because these might be ones that could in fact be the housing that would be used by somebody who would otherwise perhaps consider an abortion. Mm-hmm. Likewise, the cost of rearing children, childcare and all of that needs to be seen as part of a pro-life agenda. And we need to look beyond Ireland. I mean, infant mortality of babies in Africa is a pro-life issue, and we need to be concerned about that as well. And saving lives there is as important as saving lives here in Ireland, because they're all God's children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is quite important that people get involved. You're saying it's important that people get involved and make their voices heard.
arguably, it's more important in the future than it was in the past, because in the past, you could rely on the criminal law. And you were just arguing about a possible introduction of abortion in Ireland. In future, these decisions are going to be made here in Ireland by people in Ireland and implemented here in Ireland. So it's important to influence the climate of opinion in Ireland in favour of life, in favour of giving a chance to an unborn baby to see the light of day in Ireland and not have its life snuffed out and have itself transformed into hospital waste in Ireland.
Well, John Bruton, former Taoiseach, thank you so much for coming on this morning and sharing your thoughts with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So that is former Taoiseach John Bruton, and we have invited the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, to respond to some of the points former Taoiseach John Bruton has raised, and we hope that he will be able to take us up on the invitation sometime next week.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.